There you go. That word once again, magic at Fenway Park. The Red Sox in the first game of a twin bill today against the Orioles make it 15 straight wins. Mark, is there anybody out there who can stop the Red Sox other than the Red Sox themselves?
This little train keeps on chugging along. 15, though. Like, I know it's only plus one from where we were sitting going into Monday night, but 15 is a sobering number that hits you in a way. Like, I heard it during the broadcast today. There are only 9 teams throughout the 160-year history of Major League Baseball at this point. 9 teams have won more games in a row than this year's Boston Red Sox team, doing it with this cast of characters. 9 teams, that's it, that have won more games than this stretch right now.
So that 15-game win streak has gotten the Red Sox to 4 games over 500 now. They are 52-48. 52 plus 48 equals 100 games in the books. 62 left to go for the Boston Red Sox, currently in the postseason picture. And we'll see. I mean, what do you see ahead, Mark? I mean, do you see, forget the front office, because who knows what they're going to do? They're probably cheap out.
There's no way to try to project
the deadline. Say they do nothing. In this American League, what do you see lying ahead for the Boston Red Sox?
Not necessarily competing for a pennant if they don't make a move, but being the third wild card and potentially winning a series or even two just based on the pitching that they do have. Now, granted, offense does become much more important in playoff games when you can put 3 runs on the board at one time as opposed to having to string together 6 or 7 consecutive base runners to try to get them around. That's the issue we saw them run into last year when they were facing the Yankees in that bandbox. You want to have some thump in your lineup. At the same time, this lineup, over the course of the last month, it's actually thumping. Like, Contreras and Abreu in the middle of it. Duran hasn't turned around yet, but he's at least hitting the ball hard, and when given the opportunity,
he's still under 200.
Still under 200, but he had 3 RBI today. Like, when there are guys in scoring position, he tends to knock them in. If you could add one more piece, then it kind of changes my perspective of what's possible. But if they're to stand pat, yeah, you can still get behind this team to win a wild card round, win an American League Divisional Series. I don't know that they're going to make it all the way to the World Series with specifically the hitters they have right now that are making it work. But if Caleb Durbin keeps hitting this way for the next 60 games, you know, if you can get anything like Romy Gonzalez, that's a guy who's come back and hasn't hit at all. If Seydon Rafaela doesn't go through the second half slump that we've seen over the course of much of his career, this is a playoff team because the American League is so bad. You look at the standings right now in the wild card, they are now 1 game behind Cleveland for the second wild card. They're climbing up. They're not only climbing up the standings, they're creating separation behind them, more importantly. Yeah. So now they're +2 on Seattle. They're +4 on Baltimore and Minnesota as the closest teams behind them.
Yeah, I mean, the teams you just mentioned, I mean, I guess Seattle, I had higher expectations for them coming into this season. You're talking about Cleveland, who have not been world beaters the last few years, maybe beyond. Minnesota, they're always kind of in the mix for a while.
They're starting to turn.
If they do get to the playoffs, they generally play the Yankees and they get swept.
Yeah, they're twinning. They're doing their second half swoon.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the Orioles, after that great season, 100-win season a couple of years ago, they have certainly not trended in that direction since then. So,
but I mean, you look at a team like the Red Sox over the last month and the Yankees, and while the standings say one thing, that still has New York 4.5 games in front of them. It's only 4.5 with 60 left, and no one right now is going to tell you that the Yankees are playing like a better baseball team than the Red Sox. Even, I mean, without the 15-game win streak, they're kind of laboring through like 10-game stretches, 5-5, 6-4, 4-6, struggling to score runs, pitching is beat up a little bit. There's question marks everywhere in this league. I mean, Tampa Bay is at the top of it. It's Tampa Bay. They made it to the World Series in 2020 during the shortened year, but do you trust that they are going to have the horses to make it all the way?
Right. And the thing is, I mean, when it comes to consistent pitching, whether it be starting pitching or pitching out of the bullpen, the Red Sox, I mean, they don't have to score a lot of runs.
No, they have as much, if not more, than everybody else in the league. So that's the plea to Craig. Like, if you're feeling like now is the time to save your job, go out there, be bold, and get Zach Neto. Get I mean, C.J. Abrams is a name that Jeff Passan is linking to the Red Sox. I can't imagine they get anywhere near the price to pay for a player like that who's hitting 276.
There's a lot of names that make sense for the Red Sox.
There's a ton of
we just kind of scoff at it. We don't believe it.
There's a ton of big names out there who make sense not only for this year, but who could be kind of foundational pieces to missing parts on the diamond going forward. It would just go against how this team has run the organization, how the organization has run themselves really since 2021 when they went out and they got Kyle Schwarber at the deadline. That was the last time they made a sizable move. Since then, it's been trying to be cute, trying to thread, trying to add and sell while telling us a move like Danny Jansen is strengthening the club. Wow. That's not what we need at this deadline. If you're going to go that route, leave the team as is because things are working right now.
Jake Bennett got the start today for the Red Sox. The young left-hander did not have his best outing, struck out 4. Didn't walk anybody, though. This guy is a strike thrower, doesn't help the opposition with 3 bases. But, I mean, how much did you know about Jake Bennett prior to this season, Mark?
I just knew that when they acquired him from the Nationals, like, there was a little bit of noise around it. Like, oh, the Red Sox got this guy who could be promising, big left-hander. You just thought that he kind of had the measurables to turn into something. Mm-hmm. I didn't really expect to see him at all this year because as far as rookie lefties, he was parked 3rd on the depth chart behind Peyton Tolley and Connolly early. I have been impressed. Not enough, though, to say not trade him for one of those big names in a week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of Craig Breslow's job is to assess your strengths and weaknesses and with 62 games left, it's nice and clean. You played 100 games. What do we need to make us a championship contender? That's his real job, not just to get in the playoffs, but to win a championship. I mean, with this pitching staff, you get in the tournament, and strange things can happen.
Just one bat, it'll change the entire dynamic if you put a true professional hitter somewhere in the top 4 of this lineup.
Jim Churchill and Mark Paulette in the Greenway Equipment Studios, brought to you by Greenway Equipment Sales, your locally owned John Deere dealer. See the Smith brothers in Bangor and Ellsworth because nothing runs like a deer. We're presented by Next Home Experience, the market leader. Get looped and get sold with Next Home Experience. An abbreviated edition today, maybe not as abbreviated as we once would have expected, but we are set to finish off your day here with a drive. We'll take you up to 6 p.m. and then we'll head into game number 2 of the doubleheader, and the Red Sox will be looking to make it 16 straight wins, and that would be a new club record. Coming up in today's show, we're going to talk some Patriots as the Pats will be hitting the field on Saturday. Of course, a lot swirling around with Christian Gonzalez there. We'll talk about that. And talk about the team in general as they prepare for the 2026 season. We got a Sports Center for you, a weather forecast. Of course, we'll get back to the Red Sox with this 15-game win streak heading into game 2 tonight. Now, the Red Sox doing, we talked about their pitching. We talked about this yesterday where they're doing this without the bat that they thought was going to be the centerpiece of their lineup, and they're doing it without the pitcher who they thought was going to be the centerpiece of their staff. That would be Garrett Crochet.
We got some discouraging news from the pig himself on that front.
Yes, let's check in with the pig. And he first talks about his injured shoulder and how things have played out since the original diagnosis. Yeah, the shoulder, the elbow, they are complex like that. And everybody kind of shrugged it off at the time, including him.
Yep.
When they were talking about him even going on the IL, he kind of shrugged it off, and obviously it's gone from bad to worse at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to play conspiracy theorist here, but there is a clause in his contract that if he missed, I think it was 120 consecutive days during the baseball season because of a left arm injury, the Red Sox get another year of control out of him. Now, we know based on how he is talking that he just physically can't throw a baseball right now, or else he'd be doing everything he can to get back out there. But for Craig Breslow and the 30,000-foot view of this team, I don't think that they necessarily think it's the worst thing that he's been out this long because you get that extra year of control, and it's allowed guys like Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early, Jake Bennett, I mean, everyone to step in
their
and
opportunity.
Get their opportunity.
So where are we at now? It's got to be closing in on 90 days?
Yeah, I mean, that was the end of April, so we're pretty close to that.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. Let's hear more from Garrett Crochet and his race against time to try to throw for the Red Sox this season. Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, I guess surgery is not an option.
No, I guess it's really just trying to...
I would have hoped there would have been some mention of that at this point.
But. Yeah, no, I guess it's just, it took a while to figure out what was going on in the shoulder. And then
imagine
it's
that
just
with the Red Sox.
Issue. Who would have seen that coming, that they could bungle another injury?
What did he say? It's just completely different from the original diagnosis.
Garrett, you're going to be back out there in 9 days. So that's what he's thinking. He's getting all ramped up and he throws his arm out of socket.
So we got a mystery shoulder and we got a mystery, is it a pinky? Hand?
I think it's ring finger.
Ring finger,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like a ring finger ligament that lingers down to the wrist, and he can't grip a bat without pain. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, boy. All right. Need to hear one more. Let's check in with Jeff Passan. We were talking about the Red Sox and what they might do at the trade deadline, which is coming up in, 12 days?
Yeah, because it's August 3rd this year. It's on a Monday.
So here is ESPN's Jeff Passan. He still has a job at ESPN.
He does. They couldn't get rid of
now.
Him because then baseball's
maybe next year,
truly
Jeff.
Gone.
Maybe next year. Here he is on the Red Sox maybe doing some big game hunting at the deadline. Now, the name that I am most wishing for there would be Jeremy Peña, only because he played at the University of Maine. And defensively, he's going to be top notch. He's had some injuries. He's got some pop.
I think that would be the one that they are least interested in just because he's owed the contract at this point.
He's going to get it from somebody. But New England kid from Rhode Island, played at Maine, and that would obviously that would be nice to see. But your favorite out of the group, if Pena's out of there, who do you want?
I think it's Neto because of price and because of control on the other side of it. He's a guy who can hit 25 homers, steal 30 bases at the top of the lineup, like a 335, 340 on base percentage. Doesn't hit for the highest power, but plays a premium position. And he's kind of, it's what you would hope Marcelo Meyer could develop into someday. That ship is, at least for this season, sailed. You need improvement there in the middle of the infield.
All right, so we'll have more on the Red Sox later on in the show. Again, 15 straight wins after a 6-3 victory over the Baltimore Orioles in Game 1 of a split doubleheader today after last night's game was postponed. Game 2 coming up at 7:10 tonight. We'll have the pregame show at 6:10 shortly after we depart here on The Drive. The Drive presented by your local family-owned McDonald's on Main Street and Union Street in Bangor and Wilson Street in Brewer. We're also brought to you by Bangor Window Shade and Drapery. They offer custom blinds, shades, drapery, and outdoor awnings. Bangor Window Shade, 105 Main Street in Bangor. And we're brought to you by Casella. Good pay, good people, good life. Find your place at Power of Hard Work. We'll be right back with more of The Drive. All right, welcome back to The Drive. This is The Drive at 5, and we start with the magic happening at Fenway Park as the Red Sox win their 15th straight ball game to improve to 52-48. They have another one coming up this evening against the Orioles, trying to set a club record with 16 straight wins. So what's the longest in Major League Baseball? Jim Churchill, Mark Paulette here in the Greenway Equipment Studios. I think you and Aaron were talking about it last week. I remember the Baltimore Orioles early in a season.
I know. Yeah, they started off like 18-0 or something. And, of course, the Moneyball A's set it at 20. And then it was the Cleveland, then Indians, like 2019, I want to say, right pre-pandemic, who stretched it out. I don't know how far beyond 20 they got.
But anyway, Red Sox still going and looking ahead to number 16 tonight against the Orioles.
22, the magic number in the American League. 26, the overall mark held by the 1916 New York Giants.
Oh, yes.
So
remember them well.
10 more to go.
Yeah. All right, ways to go, but more importantly, the Red Sox are in the postseason picture, currently holding on to that third wild card spot and not all that far out of the second spot, and they're only 4.5 games behind the Yankees.
Yeah. No, they're chasing them down. They're 6 behind the Rays at the top of the division after the win in Game 1 today. It's crazy to see just how much these standings have flipped in a 2.5-week span. Like, you don't see that happening. You don't see a team gain 11 games over the span of, like, 17 on another team. It's just been a remarkable run. Who knows what's going to come of it, but right now I'm enjoying it.
So on the injury front, just seeing it on our television here in the studio, Ranger Suarez dealing with some soreness and an illness. So now I don't know what the soreness, I mean, just, it didn't say arm soreness, elbow soreness, shoulder soreness, excuse me.
He's been retching all day, threw his back out.
Anyway, and I guess Conley Early threw 120 feet.
They're talking about him like a couple of weeks away, I think. Hopefully back pretty soon. Trevor Story was saying that he's going to be the middle of August as far as guys on the shelf coming back to help out this team. They certainly probably have a little more pep in their step than they did 2 weeks ago to get back on the diamond.
The Drive presented by Heroes Sports Grill and Entertainment Center. Heroes is the place to be in downtown Bangor and at heroesportsgrill.com. Now, this is, to this point, Mark, this has not been a great day for me. I'm not terrible. I'm not complaining. I feel fine. I've got a lot done, but it hasn't been a great day. First of all, the Red Sox winning is a negative.
Just can't take it.
It's a major negative.
And, knife in your side.
I'm looking forward to the streak ending tonight. Our phone here in the studio, still not working.
Still can't receive calls.
The IT department is failing us.
That's a bit of a downer when the Red Sox are going through a historic stretch. Because
I'd like to hear from people.
I want to hear
the giddiness.
Hear the passion. Hear the giddiness.
I want to hear all those pink hat people calling in.
It's not difficult to get positivity out of the Red Sox fans. Aaron and I were, man, we almost filled a show a couple of weeks ago doing it, or a week or so ago. But yeah, no ability
we apologize.
To get you to air. Otherwise, we would be.
We're going to have to start throwing things, I guess, because this IT department, when you hear like a department, like there's no name, there's no person, there's just...
It just goes into a void.
Right. And that's what I feel. That's where I feel we're at right now, is the IT department. You know, we're somewhere on their radar, but certainly not a priority. It wouldn't appear. This is the third straight day we have not had a working phone line. So we do apologize. We'll hope for tomorrow. Well, speaking of tomorrow, Mark and I will not be here in the Greenway Equipment Studios. Speaking of Heroes Sports Grill and Entertainment Center, we are going to be at Heroes tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting live. We'll be there, I believe. That's the plan. Every Thursday through the rest of the summer. Take you right up to September. We'll hear from Chris Price on the Patriots tomorrow and Tim Healy on the Red Sox, both with the Boston Globe. And we have an exciting contest that we're going to be starting. Now, it's one big contest, but there's actually three great prizes. So we'll start with prize number one. That would be four tickets to the Red Sox game. Now, okay, before I get to that, well, let me finish. We're going to be joined by Bill Dunnitz of Dunnitz Appliance and Mattress. They are the sponsor of this great contest we're going to have. Three different games, two in September, August, one in September.
Oh, okay.
It did change a little bit.
It did change,
okay. We have two in August, but they're spaced out nicely, roughly 10 days between each game, so we can run three separate contests. And I think if you enter at the beginning, like you can only enter once, but if you enter, say, tomorrow or next week, next Monday, you'll be in throughout the contest.
We'll roll you over. Yeah. Game.
So it's one big Red Sox ticket giveaway. Three different games, four packs will be given away, and they are great seats. Section 54, you're right there close to the field, close to home plate, and so great prizes. We'll start that here in the near future. We've got everything lined up, and we'll be joined by Bill Dunnett from Dunnett's Appliance and Mattress tomorrow, live from Heroes. He'll join us around 4:20. We'll have more details then on the contest. But great seats we're going to be giving away. Very excited about this. And we'll start opening up the phone lines here. Not today, because we don't have a line.
That's
you
what,
can't call
you said,
us.
We got everything lined
right.
up.
We may have started it today.
Except for the phone line.
Right. We could have. But not with the phone lines not working. So, again, our apologies on that. But we'll get that rectified here eventually. We got to get it rectified. We got this freaking contest. We're giving away these great prizes. So
yes.
We got to get this thing. Got to get this thing up and operating.
See now. So the worst part for us is that it still shows when the calls come through. So right now, phone line,
we have a
blinking away,
blinking green light.
You and I have already tested this during a break.
I just tested it during the last break.
You called. I couldn't hear you.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yep. It is a one-way phone line at the moment.
Well, it's not even one way.
Well, I can call out. And then we can have a conversation.
I got you.
It's outgoing, just not incoming.
I thought they could call in and they would be able to hear us, but we couldn't hear them.
Yeah, no.
But that's not even happening. We tried it. So anyway, we apologize and sorry to the person who just tried to call us. But we'll have this great contest and looking forward to talking with Bill Dunnett of Dunnett's Appliance and Mattress tomorrow. Again, with more details, Max Pottle will be here in the studio. And we don't have a show on Friday, part of our summer long weekend schedule.
Yes. Monday as well. Because we'll be next Friday.
That's right. We have an extra long weekend because we're going to be on the air next Friday. We'll have another UMaine Athletic special event coming to you from Orono, downtown Orono somewhere. We'll have more details on that. Do want to mention before I forget, the morning roast tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Greg Hirsch, Tyler Cruz, Marcus Caesar here in the studio. They'll be joined by Larry Mahoney, among others. So the third part to my bad day is I lost a phone.
Down a phone.
I lost a phone. And it's not that I love the phone. I mean, it served me well. But there are probably eight times a day where I would like to throw it into the nearest body of water, whether it be the toilet down the hall or the Penobscot River. But I kind of need it. And
feel lost?
Yeah.
It's when you lose your phone, it's nice for the first hour when you can just kind of check out and no one can get a hold of you. And then you think, oh, I can't really do too much because I kind of run my whole life out of this little thing in my pocket.
Yeah. And I know there's going to be a lot of responding, a lot of replying, a lot of work to do. Once I get to that, it's kind of like you go on vacation.
Yeah.
But you know that Monday,
inbox
when you come
is just
back,
full,
you,
flooded.
It's just what's on the other end, what are you going to have to deal with? And that's what I'm going to have to deal with.
It's a little dread setting, a little double dose of dread for you. One on the phone, one with the Red Sox going for 16 in a row tonight.
Yep. So my hope is in the next, 5:08, in the next 5 hours, roughly, I will have my phone situation rectified and all my responses done, and the Red Sox 15-game win streak will come to an end.
The only one...
My day can turn that quickly.
You got to be the only one on the Red Sox family of radio networks to be actively rooting against this 15-game win streak.
Again, I said it yesterday. There's two teams I don't want to win anything. A game, a playoff game, a round... A championship series, a World Series. Number one, still got this working for me, the New York Yankees. Number two, the Boston Red Sox.
Well, let's hope for you they don't run into each other in the playoffs.
That's right, because something will have to give.
A couple of numbers on this, though. I just saw that the 15-game win streak is the longest by an AL East team since the wild card format. What am I trying to say here? What they do in 69?
Expanded playoff format? Yeah,
I don't think so, because 69
would
have still been.
Well, 69, you just had an American League. You only had, I don't know, 20 teams, 16 teams. You had an American League winner and a National League winner, and they just played.
Just played, went straight to the World Series.
Right.
The tweet I was reading was, since 1969, because some sort of, I don't know what happened in 1969, frankly, but this is the longest win streak of any AL East team since the 1969 season.
AL East team, okay.
That's what it is. That's what it is. The AL East was incorporated in 1969.
Yeah, you had an East and a West.
Yep.
There was no Central. It was East and West.
Changed
and then,
over the division. So longest win streak by any team in the history of the AL East going back to 1969. It is also, I believe, the second longest win streak in Major League Baseball history ever by a team that was 10 or more games under 500 when it began. And the others on that list, one was like the 99 Padres, but the other two... It was like the 46 St. Louis Browns and the 1911 New York Giants or something. So you don't see this happening really ever that a team is able to save their season in this way in the middle of the summer.
So I think St. Louis in 46, they were the Cardinals.
You think, well, they would have been.
They
beat
the
Red Sox.
Yeah, I do remember that. And they did it in 67, but the Red Sox got back at them a couple times. All right, we're going to talk some Patriots coming up here in the show. But again, the Red Sox get the win today, 6-3 over Baltimore in that first game to extend the win streak. My wife rubbing it into me, sent me a picture of Wally out there with a, holding up a sign, said 15, it, baby.
At least your household is represented, though.
Yeah.
In Red Sox Nation, it's the Churchill household still has representation.
She is just ripping into me day after day. The Drive brought to you by Premium Choice Broadband, local, family-owned, bringing affordable high-speed internet to Maine for over a decade. Call or email and mention PCB, the ticket, to get one free month for new residential customers. Visit premiumchoicebroadband.com for details. We're also brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinemas, Greater Bangor's favorite hometown theater for over 40 years. Bangor Mall Cinemas features luxury recliners and upgraded food menu. Find showtimes and reserve your seat at your neighborhood theater. .com. The Red Sox will have tomorrow off, and then they will be hosting the Toronto Blue Jays, a
bottom feeder at this point.
Big time disappointment.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest.
This season, without a doubt, because I really expected them to build on the momentum of last year, because that was a team that I had looked at really since like 2022 of being on the cusp to kind of take over the division. It seemed that the entire organization was kind of going in that direction where they were showing a willingness to spend money and bring players in. Yeah. And it has just been a dumpster fire up there this year.
Sounds like a managerial change somewhere in the near future.
How about this for just a couple other random notes at the end of the segment? Saw this during the last break. UMaine women's basketball. Shout out Amy Vachon and just the state of that program. Their third game of the year. They've got Oregon coming across the country to play the Pit. 11-13 versus Oregon.
Yeah, pretty cool.
In the non-conference schedule.
I mean, you got the whole schedule there. Why don't you reel off some of the highlights?
They open up the season November 5th versus Siena. Then they go to Merrimack. And then four straight home games. November 13th against Oregon, the 15th against Brown, the 19th against VCU, and the 22nd against Penn. Those are quality opponents coming up to Orno to take on the Black Bears. Then a couple of games at a Dayton tournament, a game at Michigan State in early December, home against Quinnipiac, taking on Fairfield in Portland, and then they round out the non-conference at Rhode Island and at George Washington. But that is impressive to put together, not that non-conference schedule, because they do that year in and year out, but to have that many teams now willing to come to you.
And I'm not sure how Oregon women's basketball did. I don't know how.
I don't know.
I don't hear a lot about their program when it comes to the women's side, but obviously it's a Big Ten school coming to the Pit. I mean, that is a bit surprising.
It was just a couple of years. That's where Sabrina Ionescu went, right?
Yep, that's right.
They were rocking the world a couple of years ago. 23-13 last year. 8-10 in the Big Ten, but 23-13 overall.
Yeah, and just to have four straight home games. And the travel doesn't seem crazy. You got Michigan State, but that's the center.
No,
central
game at
part
Merrimack,
of the country.
A game at Michigan State, two games at a tournament, the midseason
one in
tournament.
One D.C. towards the end there. So
yeah, Rhode Island and George Washington.
Yep, so that's a nice-looking non-conference schedule there. And the men's came out.
Well, theirs didn't come out, but Providence released theirs yesterday. So we learned that Maine is opening the season at Providence on November 2nd.
Okay. Well,
you might know more than I was going to say, you might know more than the public does. But
it'll be out very shortly, yes. Basketball will be, you said November 5th, the women's first game. So it'll be here before you know it. And, of course, football coming right up as well. So Miami Heat, they announced inadvertently?
Yeah, a little bit of a snafu there where someone in the social media department is no longer employed by the Miami Heat because a link to a scheduled live stream titled LeBron James Introductory Press Conference scheduled for July 27th on their YouTube page was published. And then a spokesperson had to take it down and say that they were just getting ready for the possibility of LeBron James' return. I don't know, though. Do you really need to go to that extent in 2026 to set up a live stream 5 days ahead of time to practice it and see if it works and also title it that? Like, why can't you just title it practice?
Right.
Test.
So I actually think, I mean, Cleveland may make sense going back there from where he's from and won a championship there with the Cavs. But Miami kind of makes a lot of sense too.
It does. I'm kind of thinking that Golden State comes out of this.
Really?
That he gets to stay in California. He gets to go up there with Steph and Draymond and the old men go after it one more time. Jimmy's still on that team, right?
And you think that's a good fit with all those old men?
No, not at all. I don't I don't think that would work well whatsoever.
All right. And of course, Philadelphia was mentioned, but I don't think that's... I mean, they've already got Embiid. They've already got Maxey. They got Jalen.
Yeah, on a court with those three, well, those four, really, that is a lot of gravitational force and pull to throw in the middle of the floor with you.
Yeah, and I'm not sure... Yeah, I don't think that makes sense at all, but we'll see. So I think by Monday they're expecting something to go down here.
Well, because football training camp opens up this weekend, and at that point, sorry NBA, sorry LeBron, but you'll get a day at most
trampled.
Out of it.
All right, we're going to take a time out here. The Drive is brought to you in part by Fat Panda Boba Tea and Market on Harlow Street in Bangor, next to Gosling's Bakery. Sip fresh boba, explore snacks, ramen, and their tasty Jamaican patties. Also brought to you by Union Street Towing. They have you covered 24/7 statewide, from breakdowns to lockouts. They'll get you moving fast. Call them at 942-4200. That's Union Street Towing, driven to be there when you need them the most. And a reminder to get your UMaine football season tickets. Time to pack the stands at Alphonse Stadium and cheer on the Black Bears. Season tickets on sale now, and they will give you the best value and the best seats for every home game. Visit goblackbears.com/tickets. While we're on, do you still have the goblackbears.com website up there, Mark?
No, but I can pull it up easy enough.
Maine football, they'll be starting in about a month and a half.
Yeah. Last year it was August, right?
Tail end.
Let's see. August 27th, it is again this year.
Wow.
CAA opener at Townsend, 6 o'clock kickoff on the 27th. Then they're at Appalachian State on September 5th. Home opener comes against Merrimack on the 12th before heading back on the road to Boston College and Elon. Once again, not a friendly start to the schedule for the Maine football team.
It's what they have to do. But, I mean, that one home game
until
while
October
the weather
3rd.
Is good.
Yeah, one home game until October 3rd when your next one comes up.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, after that point, they're basically...
Well, yeah, it's got to tilt their way at some point.
They're kind of home for the month of October. Sacred Heart on the 3rd.
October can be good.
Bryant on the 17th after a bye week. Then you got Campbell to round out... well, not round out the month. On the 24th, they go to Rhode Island on Halloween to actually end it.
Yeah. All right. All right, we will be right back with more of The Drive right after this. Welcome back into the Greenway Equipment Studios. The Drive is brought to you by Uno Pizzeria and Grill, where they have late-night deals every night in the bar or lounge, 9 p.m. to close. Enjoy $6 apps, $5 cheeseburgers, or $5 pizzas at 725 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Order to go at 947-5000 or visit unos.com. Also brought to you by Novus Auto Glass. Call Novus Auto Glass today at 945-6688 to get your windshield repaired or replaced. And we are brought to you by Tim's Plumbing. Mark your calendars for Saturday, August 8th at Ricky Craven Speedway, as it will roar to life with the Tim's Plumbing 100 featuring the Darlings Pro Stock Series and $4,000 to the winner. It's one of the biggest nights of the season. Bring the family out and experience the excitement with the Tim's Plumbing 100 at Ricky Craven Speedway on Saturday, August 8th. All right, welcome back. We're going to switch gears here just a little bit from baseball. Been talking a lot about the Red Sox. Again, 15 wins in a row after a 6-3 victory earlier today and going for 16 tonight. You can hear it right here on The Ticket beginning at 7:10. But the New England Patriots, the NFL, gearing up for the 2026 season. Players will be on the field on Saturday as the workouts begin.
Yeah, late in that Red Sox game today, there was quite the ominous storm clouds forming over the Green Monster, kind of creeping into Fenway. They actually just unleashed after game one, and it was raining, just sheets of rain over Boston. That's kind of like the Patriots hanging out on the horizon for the Red Sox. They're looming. They're ready to come in and take over all the headlines.
Well, they may need that here, surely. We'll see.
And, I mean, I don't know. Like, going into this season, I feel great about the football team that they have, their capabilities this season. At the same time, my expectations are kind of scaled back because last year was just a yellow brick road. They had 13 regular season wins. I'm kind of looking at this year both from the talent on the roster and also the schedule and thinking, like, they I'm not going to say they struggle for double digits.
Now they won 13 games?
No, they were either 13 and 4 or 14 and 3. What, I might have shorted them one.
Yeah, I think you did.
I think I shorted them one. 14 and 3, yeah. So even more of a step back there. I see the ceiling on this team's wins at like 11 just because of what the schedule is. I've got some concerns about the defense too. Like the defense has me worried in a way that last year it looked better than it was because of the competition they were playing. Let's be real about that.
Yeah.
This team averaged 28.8 points per game offensively last year, which is a number that they're going to meet this year. They might even build upon that because I think offensively they've got a lot to work with. Defensively, they were the fourth best unit in the NFL, allowing only 18.8 points per game. They outscored their opponents by an average of 10 points per week. I think this year they average 28, 29 points a game offensively, but I see that defense breaking to like 23 or 24 because of the quarterbacks you're facing and because after the top line, there's not a lot of depth anywhere on that side of the ball.
So they do this on the Rich Eisen show. Where they pick a team and they run through their schedule and they come up with their record.
You going to do it?
Let's do it.
We're going to go 17-0 right now.
Camp is starting. We're going to be busy tomorrow at Heroes. Again, we'll be broadcasting live from Heroes tomorrow from 4 to 6. Looking forward to that. But right now, looking forward to the 2026 Patriots schedule. And here
I'm
on
track this for
July
both of us,
22nd.
Because I think we're going to have very different results.
Well, just without looking at the schedule,
I
would
say about it.
I would say
10-7. Yeah,
I would say 10-7. But I mean, I know kind of who they're playing, but let's take a look at it game by game, week by week.
Wednesday night opener at Seattle,
loss.
Yep. Week two at home against the Steelers.
I'll say win.
I will as well.
Yep.
Week three at the Jaguars.
Interesting. Interesting. Can I come back to that one?
I don't know if you're allowed to.
No, I guess you're not. I'll say, I think it could be a little choppy at the beginning. I'll say loss.
I'm also going loss there. Okay. And then week four, you're at Buffalo.
Ooh.
So this is what I'm talking about. They could be staring down a 1-3 start, and it's still a football team that I feel good about and could be a wild card team, even a division winner at the end of it.
And that Buffalo situation is going to be interesting. I mean, they won a lot of games. I mean, I don't think he was a great coach, but they won a lot of games with a guy who got canned, and now they're bringing the offensive coordinator. So yep. Much like the Celtics and Jason Tatum, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Buffalo this year with the offensive coordinator stepping up, and, you know, we'll see.
So is that a win?
I'm going to go loss.
You're trying to talk yourself into the confidence. I was waiting for it to come.
But it's going
to
be interesting. I mean, I don't think they're going to be like ESPN has them number one in their rankings, right?
Buffalo in the AFC. They do, yeah. So September is gone. We're actually into October at this point. That Buffalo game is October 4th.
The heat is on.
But now you can make up some ground. You return home against the Raiders.
Well,
don't even have to answer that.
They're playing the Raiders at home for the second straight year.
Yeah, October 11th, 1 o'clock on CBS.
Forget they lost to Pete Carroll's to start that season.
I know.
All right, they're 2-3.
And then they follow that up with a win against the Jets.
Yes.
After that,
you're back to 500.
So you're back to 500 at 3-3, but then you're at Chicago on a Thursday night. 4 days later, short turnaround. That's an L.
Yeah, I'm with you. 3-4.
Then you get a little bit of you get the weekend off after the Thursday night. You travel down to Miami to open up the month of November.
There's a win.
4-4. So almost halfway through the season, 500. Then you host the Packers. 4:25 game on November 8th.
Oof.
Packers are a good team.
I mean, I can see them winning one of those road games we talked about, whether it be the Jaguars or I can see them win or Buffalo. But I can also see them losing this one. So I'll go win because I went loss on all those road games. So I'll go win.
So you're going win to get them to 5-4. I'm going loss to get them to 4-5.
Wow.
After that, you host Detroit. You don't host them. Sorry, that's the Germany game. 9:30 a.m. here, right. But that is in Germany, November 15th. I'm taking that as a win. Detroit started to sour on them a little bit at the end of last year.
What did they make for moves in the offseason? Because they,
oh God, I don't know.
Yeah, their defense was putrid.
Yeah.
Right. All right, I'll go win.
So you have them at 6-4 at this point in the year. They come back from Germany. After, that's when they have their bye week.
Seven
after
games
Germany.
Left.
And then they go out to the Chargers Sunday Night Football on the 29th of November.
I'm going to say the Chargers get a little revenge in this one.
Really? Yeah. All right. So that's where we differ, because I just think the Chargers and Justin Herbert are a fraudulent bunch. Then you host Buffalo.
They got a new OC out there, Mr. McDaniel. We'll see.
Yeah, but I don't believe in the quarterback, so
okay.
What's the OC going to do? Buffalo, December 6th in Foxborough, 425.
I'll go win.
Yep, me too. You got to split with the Bills. After that, they host the Vikings. This is another Thursday night game, December 10th.
Host the Vikings.
So again, a short turnaround right after the Bills. 4 days later, Vikings come into town.
I'll go win.
Me as well. So at this point, we are both 8-5. I think we just have the two
four
disagreements
games left
in there, but it brings us to the same record at the Chiefs, Monday Night Football.
I'll go
Patrick
loss.
Patrick Mahomes back at that point in the season,
right,
fully firing.
Stadium, Monday night. Yep.
Then you're at the Jets, so we can pencil in another win there.
Two games left,
and it starts off with hosting the Broncos. Date and time, TBD. Do the Broncos get revenge?
So I said 10-7 without dissecting the schedule.
We're both at 9-6 with two games left.
I'm trending. And what's their last game?
It's Miami at home.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I'm kind of trending that same way with you, because I expect them to win that one. Denver's a good team. Denver probably shouldn't have lost that AFC Championship game if Bo Nix is healthy and
a
blizzard doesn't roll in. Yeah.
10-7.
And again, so 10-7, and yet I think they'll be a better football team than they were last year. Like, I think all the losses that we call for on the schedule, at the Seahawks, at the Jaguars, at the Bills, against the Packers, if you believe that to be the case, at the Chiefs, against the Broncos, I don't see the Patriots getting blown out anywhere. They're going to be in all these games.
Right.
They're going to be tough. They're just
hard
the schedule.
Fought. Yep.
The schedule is brutal compared to last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a 4-game difference. But, I mean, the schedule last year was historically easy. And then even we talked about this, and I know it's been talked about many times before, but when they went into the postseason, look, they were facing very good defenses. They didn't light it up against anybody, right?
Offensively?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So they faced the Chargers.
Good defense.
Yeah.
Best passing defense
in the
league.
But their quarterback, who's had some decent regular seasons, is not good in the postseason. Okay.
And he had a broken hand.
And you were playing at home.
Yep.
And then you played
Houston.
And their quarterback just blew up.
He just decided to throw an interception.
Melted.
Every other time he dropped back.
Now, you can give some of the credit to the Patriot defense, but I think a lot of it's on his shoulders.
Yeah, because he was that way in their previous game, too. They just were able to get it done.
And then they face the Broncos and their former backup quarterback, who hadn't played all year. And they win that game in a snowstorm. So
let's
and then they face the best team in the league and they lost.
Let's real quickly, like, gut reaction, just instant answer, win or loss for the Bills, to see how we're feeling, because that's the only other competition. Miami's not competing.
No.
Miami
Jets
could be a bottom three team in the NFL this year, and the Jets could be a bottom seven team, because that's just where they occupy year over year. So Buffalo opens the season at Houston. Remember what Houston and that defense did to Buffalo last year on a Thursday night? I'm going loss as well. They return home to host Detroit Thursday night football.
I'll go win. New stadium.
It is a new stadium, but it's on 4 days rest.
Win.
Yeah, me too. They're winning the home opener in the new stadium versus the Chargers.
So at home.
Yep.
Win.
We already said they're beating the Patriots in that week 4 game. Then they go
3-1.
3-1. When the Pats are 1-3 at the same time, and they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Then Buffalo goes to the Rams on a Monday night.
Loss.
They are at Vegas.
Win.
Then they have their bye week before returning home to host Baltimore.
Ooh. Baltimore, I'm telling you, that team.
Yeah, I was high on them the last 2 years, and it burned me.
They got a new coach.
I like Josh Allen more than I do Lamar Jackson at this point.
Yeah,
I'll trust him more.
I'll go win. Because Baltimore beat them. They had a crazy game against Baltimore, didn't they, last year? Like, high scoring they came back against them and won in amazing fashion. I got to look that up now.
While you're doing that, after Baltimore, they go to Minnesota on a Monday night.
Minnesota, who knows?
I know. Kyler Murray going to stick?
I like their coach. I like their coach.
They're always a competitive second half team, but this is still week 9, so I kind of give Buffalo the edge there.
Yeah.
Minnesota tends to round into form.
All right, we'll go Buffalo.
At the Jets, I don't think we need to give that one too much thought. Versus Miami, 1 o'clock game, Sunday, November 22nd.
No need to dwell
another
on
bad
that.
Team. So Buffalo at this point is 8-2 in our
running
head,
away.
While the Patriots are 4-4. So they're
AFCs.
Or no, the Pats at this point. Yep. We had them at 5-5 because we had them splitting those next two after it. So it's still a 3-game lead for Buffalo versus Kansas City on a Thursday night. We got to find a loss in there somewhere for the Bills, don't we? But it's at home.
Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm not going against Josh Allen at home on a Thursday night. Here's the loss for them. The next week, they're at New England. We already pegged that as their third loss of the season. Then they follow that up with a trip to Green Bay. That sounds like back-to-back losses. Down to 9-4 versus Chicago on a Saturday night, 8:20.
See, I would not be surprised. I mean, again, I have a lot of faith in their head coach, not so much in their quarterback.
Caleb Williams?
Yeah. I think that's a team that everybody expects to take the next step. I wouldn't be surprised if they regress slightly. I really wouldn't.
So another win for the Bills.
At home?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
10-4 at this point. 11-4 at this
point.
Guess
we are with ESPN.
10-4, sorry. Now they go to Denver on a Friday because that is Christmas. They're the 4:30 game on Christmas at Denver.
So you could say snowstorm, but they're used to snowstorms.
They are.
Buffalo.
I'll give Denver the edge there. Yeah. Mile high. They close the season
10-5
at Miami and against the Jets. So that would put them at 12-5 to the Pats. Kind of not struggling to 10-7, but certainly that's not cruising to it like we did with Buffalo.
So they finished 2 games behind Buffalo. That would not be a surprise.
No. Yep.
All right. There you go. We've got it all figured out. Who needs to play the games?
Just sit back and wait.
We got the Pats at 10-7. We got the Bills winning the AFC East at 12-5. We'll see how it plays out. Looking forward to the football season at all levels. We'll have a ton of games on Ticket TV coming your way at the high school level. Of course, we've got UMaine football, and we'll have other college football here on the Ticket in the fall. And we got the Patriots on our sister station, WWMJ, and we'll have plenty of NFL action right here on the Ticket as well. It'll be here before you know it. All right, we will step aside here, and we'll be right back with more of The Drive. We'll do some Sox props, and we'll talk about the Red Sox heading into the deadline. All right, there you go. Some more Sox talk with the trade deadline hovering over us. 12 days away, I think we said. Red Sox here on July 22nd. Have already won their 15th straight game earlier today. They'll go for number 16 tonight in the back half of a doubleheader against the Baltimore Orioles. No Ranger Suarez tonight for the Sox.
Eduardo Rivera. He's been a serviceable opener for him, bullpen arm. They've had a lot of guys actually shuffle through like the middle of the bullpen this year. Sam Iniego, who came up early in the year, was solid for him. That would be the one place, though, like so much, me as well, paying attention to the lineup and the need to add a bat. But as far as needs at the moment, I think the need is in the bullpen, like a seventh inning guy, because I don't trust Justin Slayton to get it to Whitlock and Chapman when you actually need it to.
Right. We believe Suarez is going to be back, and he'll be, he was pitching great before he went on the IL. They've got the pitching. They could use a little more, like you said, especially when you get into the big games in the latter part of the season and obviously in the postseason. But it's offense they need.
It is. It's desperate. And really, the candidates for me, Shea Longeliers is a name that keeps popping up, but I can't imagine the
A's. It's a position they need.
It is, catcher. But he is a guy who, he's been part of like the A's rebuild. He's got good power behind the plate. And they have kind of, not kind of, really tailed off in the second half. At this point, he's got to be 26, I'd say, mid-20s probably. Hunter Goodman is a name that I would trade. I'm throwing Franklin Arias in that deal. I'm throwing Connelly Early in that deal. I'm throwing Jake Bennett in that deal if you want it. Like, whoever you want for a guy that has 30 home runs already behind the plate this year, had 31 last season, had 13 in like 70 games the year before that. So this is what he does. Is, I mean, is he behind the dish. Jeff Passan has him ranked on his list of top 10 players at the deadline.
All right.
So you made the concession right before we came back on air that if they go out and get Jeremy Pena, he might be coming back.
Be tugging
back around.
Me. Yeah. I mean, that would be, well, he's a New England kid. I mean, I watched him kind of grow up with Maine baseball, and then before we knew it, he was a World Series MVP.
Yeah, year one.
He doubled in size, basically. But just good family, good kid, or good young man at this point. And yeah, that would be, that might get at least one foot back in there.
Zach Neto is the name I'm looking at because I think it's the right
realistic
blend. Yeah, I think it's the right blend of production, but also cost to make him the most realistic target for the Red Sox.
With the Angels.
He'd still be pricey, as you heard coming into this segment. Like, it might be a Marcelo Meyer and a Jake Bennett. But at this point, Jake Bennett's a whole hell of a lot more proven at the major league level than Meyer is. So I'd be willing to make that trade.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of other teams, like, Meyer's going to figure it out. I mean, he's probably got some maturity issues. Maybe he's not as focused as he could be, but the raw talent is there. I mean, people have been looking at him all the way up through high school, and obviously the Red Sox fell into a high draft pick. Was he third or fourth?
He was fourth.
Okay. But anyway, he'll go somewhere. He'll figure it out, and he's going to be a very good Major League Baseball player. Who knows? And who knows what is happening behind the scenes, the conversations with managers and Meyer. I don't think Alex Cora was.
He was.
I don't think they were on the same page.
I'm not going to say I blame Alex Cora for the season that Marcelo Meyer is having, but he rode him kind of all offseason and coming into camp.
Yeah,
because
he picks these weird targets.
Yeah, he picks weird battles thinking
he's not going to pick anymore for the Red Sox.
Thinking
anyway.
That, like, it seemed like, well, I can push him to the breaking point, and then he's going to come out of it on the other side a better major league player for it. I think he just kind of got in Meyer's head and set him up for a bad year.
I think that's one of the biggest myths about Alex Cora, is that he was the
master button pusher.
Yeah, with players, and he knew just what buttons to push, and he was, you know, he was going to get the most out of them. I think he screwed up in a number of cases, Meyer being one of them.
Well, like I said the other day when Aaron and I were on here, coming into the year, he was the face of the franchise. So as far as like having the most cachet in their corner in the dugout, I got to imagine some of these young guys weren't all that comfortable around him compared to how they are around Chad Tracy, who was just one of the people who helped them along in the minor leagues and is now up there making them feel comfortable. Like, it's still kind of that scenario.
So Chad's got to be... he's about 41 and 31 or something like that, 42 and 31.
After the win today, he is 42 and 31.
Wow.
At what point does that interim tag get ripped off? Like, if this thing keeps going.
I mean, my guess would be maybe like after the trade deadline or something, like sometime
in
August.
If they're like 10 games up at that point.
Yeah, I think it would have to come off, and I think that would, you know, obviously be huge for him. But I think, I mean, the players, I mean, if they keep winning, like, they know he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to fire him if he gets them into the postseason after the way they started. So I don't think that, you know, the players, it's not a matter of respecting Chad Tracy. I mean, especially at this point, he's the manager and they know that, and he's not going anywhere this season.
And it's truly a meritocracy, which I never really felt like it was under Alex Cora. He always had his favorites. He had his teacher's pets. Chad Tracy, it doesn't matter who you are. If you go 2 for 3, you're going to be in the lineup the next day. Or if you're Sung Chae Chen and the team is 14-1 with you parked at shortstop, you're going to be out at shortstop every night.
So what is the rest of the... I mean, and obviously from Craig Breslow's thing, I mean, he's put the emphasis on pitching, and you'd have to give them a tip of the cap there because they've got one of the best pitching staffs in Major League Baseball. They've developed more and they brought in talent, and the, you know, so far so good. I mean, albeit Crochet injured this year, but and supposedly they have more coming up. But I mean, he's he's made a lot of good moves, and he made the managerial change, and for a while it didn't look like that was going to work, but he certainly kept the right coach. He kept the pitching coach.
Yeah, Andrew Bailey. He's getting it done.
And so that part has worked out well, but I couldn't tell. I know Chad Epperson is the third base coach.
Jose David Flores, is he the bench coach or the first base coach?
I don't know.
He's on the staff.
I couldn't tell you the rest of the coaching staff. All right, that is the state of the Red Sox. We don't know who's coaching the players. We know the manager, maybe the third base coach, but they cannot lose right now. 15 straight wins. Drive brought to you by Goslin's Bakery. Start your morning at 334 Harlow Street in Bangor. Grab a breakfast sandwich or an English muffin or a croissant. Plus legendary donuts and pastries they've been making since 1945. We'll be right back. All right, we have a Sox prop buzzer beater combo mini segment here. And so far this week, the Drive is 2-0 in their Sox props. We went with the money line earlier today.
I say we roll it over. Do it again. Just go for history. All on red.
I know you're rooting for it, Mark.
All on red.
All right. I'll ride the wave.
It'll give you something to root for. Well, now, I guess you would want us to win our prop so that we have the best record overall.
Right. Yeah. I know. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to pull me in.
Trying to bring you back a little bit.
Different ways here. Yeah. All right. We shall see. Again, a reminder, tomorrow afternoon, we will be at Hero Sports Grill and Entertainment Center, Mark and me. And we're also going to hear from Chris Price from the Boston Globe. He'll be talking with Mark about the Patriots. Tim Healy from the Globe as well will be talking about the Red Sox. Will he be talking about 16 straight wins? We will see. Red Sox are off tomorrow. We'll also have Bill Dunnett from Dunnett's Appliance and Mattress. They are the presenting sponsor for the Red Sox ticket giveaway contest this summer. Again, we have three games coming up, two in August and one in September. Great seats. A four-pack will be up for grabs for every game, and we will start that contest here. Probably at this point, first of next week, we'll start the contest. First of next week.
Need the phone up and running.
Yes, we do need the phone. That's if the phone is working. Have a good night, everybody.